Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I declare to you again that that's your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That which was confusing to you, it will become clear today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Direction that wasn't clear to you before, the Lord will make it clear to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You wanted to make a decision, something is confusing. As the word is coming forth this evening, it will come clearly to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It will give you the right direction. It will help you make the right choice.
Amen.
Somebody may have given you a business proposal and you have prayed. You don't even know whether it will accept or not accept. Today, it will be clear in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whether a word of knowledge comes forth or not, just by paying attention to the word of God, clarity will come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will make that decision that you need to make clear to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will do something and you will know it is the will of God.
Amen.
You will not doubt it.
Amen.
A friend of mine, you know, that then he was about to go abroad. Of course, you know who I'm talking about. Those of you have told the story many times. He's a citizen, a British citizen and all of that. And his relatives abroad were trying to arrange for him to come over. Then turned to one of his friends, he said, listen, I'm about to leave Nigeria and go abroad. That one said, oh, that's very good, though. Just make sure it's the will of God. You see, as soon as the words dropped from that guy's mouth, he knew it was not. It's not about whether, he said, the man just said it, and he just knew it was not. There's a way you just know this is not God.
Yes, sir.
So that was it. He abandoned the project. That was more than 25 years ago. The will of God for your life will be clear to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They will say, okay, come and take this job. You wake up. Before today's meeting is over, you will know whether you are supposed to say yes or say no.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know, it's not that the fact that a job has a better pay. It's not always proof that that's the will of God.
Yes,
a job can be a lower paying job than where you are right now. And God will say, that is the next phase of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Money does not dictate where you go or where you don't go. These are the things that God does for us believers to get us to the point where we make decisions not because of money. It's because of what is right to do and what is right in that season. Now I'm prophesying to you again today that as this word is coming for you this afternoon, this evening, that which is right for you to do, you will know it in Jesus' name. Somebody's listening to me. One man has been harassing me for the last 2 months. Marry me now. Should you marry him or not? I don't know. One thing I'm sure is that before you go away today, you will know.
Amen.
Say amen now.
Amen.
I say you will know.
Amen.
You men that are saying amen, I wasn't talking to you. Okay, you are helping out.
Yes.
All right. That's very good. The Lord will bless you for it.
Amen.
So do you that I'm talking to, they have helped you to say the amen. And that amen will come to pass in your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word will come to you this evening. It will drive away every affliction.
Amen.
One thing I keep saying is that there are sicknesses you have, you don't know they are there. This word will cure them.
Amen.
You will never find out.
Amen.
You won't even be able to testify because you don't even know it happened. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
listen, that is the word of God in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said to you before that because of my natural training, I know these things. Say this, you diagnosed that somebody has cancer today. It's been growing for 10 years. Many of them. Been going there for a very, very long time. That's called death walking. When death is walking, it arranges all kinds of things. We'll find those things under the microscope. But let me say to you, life is walking.
Amen.
I want to say something that's very funny. Now, stop going around poking around looking for what is not there. Some of you, every year you go for mammography. As if Angelina Jolie is your sister. Honestly, we're poking around looking for what is not there. Okay, you're not sure. Just, I'm giving you the word of God. Miss this year zone. Don't do this year. Leave them. You won't die. Cancer won't get you.
Amen.
I said cancer will not get you.
Amen.
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The money you will have used to pay for that mammography for this year. This year, take that money. Buy 2 or 3 books and use it to pay for, go to one resort center. How much is mammography? I don't know. Don't ask me. I don't know. Just pay for a room somewhere for, you know, those Catholic quiet areas. They are no more than 7K a day, 5,000. That's probably cheaper than mammography. They just pay for 2 rooms, buy small snacks, tell everybody at home, bye-bye, I'm going for a retreat. Take 2 books on healing. Stay there for 2 days and mammograph your life. Are you getting my point? Radiate yourself with the word of God. You know, when you take a holiday like that, you will not forget.
Yeah.
You will know, why am I here? I came here to study the word. Thank God for this device they call mobile phone. It's one of the most powerful things the Lord gave us in modern times. These days, memory card is cheap. 8 gig memory card is not a big deal. Just load it with 20 hours of correct word. Get there, just do 1 hour in the morning. That's before you, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon, 1 hour at night. In between, declare the word of God and be speaking to your system. She's mammography you want to do. Start with the breast now. And speak the word of life to it. And I'm telling you, the things that doctors are going to poke around looking for, they will dissolve that weekend in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's the way it works. People don't put attention in the word of God. That's the problem. They spend good money and spend 1 week waiting for the radiologist to decide whether what he's seeing makes sense. And our statistics have shown in medical practice that many of the times they don't agree. You go to radiologist number 1, he said this should be investigated. Number 2 say, no, don't worry, go home. Number 3 says something between number 1 and number 2. Now, this is the interesting part. All that period, you're not sleeping. No?
Yeah.
Oh, you thought you were sleeping. You're not sleeping. You will begin pray the kind of prayer where people will bang you the chase self. They not pray past that one. You start praying all kinds of prayers. What am I saying? That effort is what I'm saying. That effort, use it to carry God's word and fill your life with it. Just 1 weekend. 3 days. You won't have spent more money than the one you'll have spent there. See, we did last year. It's just this year I'm asking for. Just this year, go and relax and treat yourself with the word of God. The things that people are trying to catch early, kill it early. Why do you want to catch it early? Why don't you just kill it early? That's what I'm teaching. Kill it early. I always quote Kenneth Hagin and Lillian B. Yeomans. They said, the problem is that people don't pay attention. They said, if people will give me, each one of them said it at different times, if people will give me the same attention that they give to the doctor, I will get them cured 100% of the times, and I will not charge a penny. He said, but the truth is that they don't, if the doctor says, come tomorrow for your result, they are back. Wait outside for 1 hour, they will wait.
Yeah.
Take this tablet 3 times a day for 6 weeks, they will take it. They will set alarm. Husband will remind wife. The wife will remind the husband. They will do it consistently. So Kenneth Hagin and Lillian B. Yeoman said, why don't you do that for me? If I tell you show up at a healing school, be there 2 times a day, we'll teach the word of God in the morning, we'll pray in the evening. We'll teach the word in the morning, we'll pray in the evening, but it's going to be for 5 weeks. He said, just do it. He said, 100% of the times, I don't care what is ailing you, you will get well. But you know, as far as we're concerned, God must do it now, now, now. If he doesn't do it now, 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 he's not God. Are you getting my point? That's the prescription I'm giving you today. That it works for poverty too. It works for struggling. People that have not been able to make money, they are going back to school to go and get your masters. They become master at joblessness. Yeah, you think masters will guarantee you anything? Why don't you take a weekend too and go and meditate? The word of God works. I hope you're getting my point here. Let me pray for you again today. The word will enter you this evening.
Amen.
It will give you light, it will give you direction.
Amen.
It will bring you healing in every area.
Amen.
It will bring you doors, open doors in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All the symptoms of so-called curses people were talking about, they are wiped away now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Learn to rejoice because you are free.
Amen.
You are free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that freedom will manifest.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Last time we began to talk about effective praying. And I want to just continue from that today. My two portions of the, two verses we used, one from the book of Luke chapter 18, we used that last time, and then also from the book of Romans chapter 12. Both of them, well, I'll just refer to them again today. Well, don't bother opening to it. From the book of Luke chapter 18, he said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or get tired. And from Romans chapter 12, Paul said that as believers, amongst the things that we should be known for is our devotion to prayer. And last time we began to look at it again. What does it mean to be devoted to prayer? We said that there's what the Bible, what the Lord Jesus called vain repetitions. And I spent a few minutes talking about vain repetitions. What's a vain repetition? To bring in the same matter of need to the Lord again in prayer. To say the same thing again and again, like Paul said, like the Lord Jesus said, that they think that by many words they will be heard. You understand? So they keep on bringing it to God again and again. That's vain repetition. He said, but if you are not going to repeat vainly, how are you going to repeat at all? I said, there are things that are not vain repetitions. For example, if I take the word of God and I put it on my lips, it is not vain repetition. We look at an example then from Psalm 136 that David kept on saying, you know, that is to him, you know, he said to the God, we were talking about praising the Lord and giving thanks to him. You tell it to the God of gods, to the Lord of lords, to him that does great wonders. And each verse, about 26 verses there, he will tell you, for his loving kindness endures forever or everlasting, you know. Stuff like that. I keep on telling you that. But these are not vain, but they are repetitions. What's the difference between a vain repetition and one that is not vain? Vain repetition is you're just focused on your needs. But repetition that's not vain is to continue altering the word of God. If you put the word of God on your lips all the time, even if it's 100,000 times a day, it is not vain. That's what you should be talking about. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It should be rich. It should be rich. Fill your heart so much it becomes your conversation. One of the things we have talked about in our school of prayer again and again is for us to realize that prayer is not something you do only in the time of prayer. Now, the other day, I walked into the house and I just asked my son, who's writing SSC, I said, I was exam today. He said, it was okay, but what is the but in it? He said, the essay is the hardest he has ever seen. But at the MCQ, was easy. And he talked and talked. He said, practical was like this. At the end of the day, I didn't know my wife was listening. I just said, so he said, I believe I'll do well. I just said to him, they told me about a number of challenges. I just said to him in passing, I said, the Lord will show you favor. I just said to him like that. I entered my bedroom. I didn't know my wife was there listening all the while to our conversation from the sitting room. That she was in the bedroom. She just turned to me and said, I like that. I like the way. So I was like what? So it reminded me of something. I said, what is it? The way you answered him just now, that the Lord will show you favor. You know, it didn't even strike me that I prayed. It was when I entered the room and my wife pointed it out. I said, oh, okay, it's true. That was prayer. And that's one thing believers must realize. Prayer is something you do constantly. Prayer is the way you react to a situation. I could have sat down and said, what's wrong with your school? Why did they not make sure that did not happen? Why did this one happen? Why did this one now happen? You know, just start getting angry, you start getting worked up. As you are getting tense, your faith is getting lower. As you are becoming anxious, your faith is weakening. And don't forget, God requires that faith to do anything. God requires that faith. I just said to him, the Lord will show you favor. And I didn't even realize I was praying. It was because my wife pointed it out when I stepped into the bedroom. She was listening to us. I said, oh, that's true. That was a prayer. Why didn't I realize it was a prayer? The Lord had helped me in that area to make it a habit. If my children come to me, I'm not feeling well. I have a headache. My body, of course, children, you know, children, when they are small, they don't say they have a headache. What do they say? My head is paining me. You got it. That's what they always say. It's as you get older, you learn the bad language. You understand my point? Oh, headache. Children will just tell you, my head is paining me. So it's you that are not entitled. That's what we call a headache, you know? When they come to me, my head is aching. The first thing I tell them is that you will get well. It is well. Before we start checking, is it malaria? Is it this one? Is it that one? Is it that one? Is it this one? And believe me, it can be anything, naturally speaking. But before you start checking what it could be, give it a conclusion. Yes, sir. Tell it where it will go. No one will eat of your fruit again. Start with that one. That's what Jesus did when he saw that tree that was misbehaving. Say to that headache, no one will eat of your fruit again. Let's make these things a habit. That's what we have been teaching. You know, remember we keep on saying this here, that our school of prayer is not about praying primarily, but about learning to make praying a habit. When they tell you that, you know, the currency got devalued, something became more expensive, this one's this, respond with prayer. APC is not the government of your life. They are the government of the country. Are you getting my point here? They are not the government of your life. Your prosperity does not depend on them. So don't panic if they do something wrong. If they find $43 million in a house, don't panic. Don't say, hey, this is how they have ruined this country. The $43 million is history. I hope you get my point. It was stolen when you don't even know. And you are still alive. Why are you now using it to predict what your life will be tomorrow? People are very funny. Is it because you suffered $3 million? Do you know where they will soon steal $80 million? Just be watching. Just by the way, all the money is coming back.
Amen.
Somebody say amen now.
Amen.
Ah, God works in different ways. And I feel like gisting small, just for 2 minutes. Please allow me now. You know when I gist, that you also learn something.
Yes.
Even though me, I enjoy it, but you also... You know many of the development you are seeing around in Enugu, in Abuja, Lagos, any part of Nigeria. You know how God engineered it? The Lord works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He does that. One of the things the Lord does is to just simply make sure that nobody can thief money. They can't steal money and take it abroad. You know, God's miracles is in stages. Initially, all these $43 million you are seeing would have been in Switzerland. Would have been in France, United States, somewhere in Europe, you know, hiding. But years ago, God said, no, not anymore. So now nobody wants trouble. They don't want to go to prison. So when they steal their money, they put it in the bank. Then one day God said, all right, you know what you guys are going to do? They said, what? BVN. And they took the BVN as everybody, BVN. And you know, since you are not a thief, you didn't know the BVN was a problem. The day I found out BVN was trouble, I was surprised. Ah, what is it? It's not just to go show your fingerprint, they give you a number, link it to all your accounts. Ah, hey, your wife was on that time that it's because you don't steal. If you're a thief, you will know that thing is a problem. The money hang everywhere. The after a while, guys say, man, this BVN thing, it has spoiled the state in that direction. What do we do? The gutter. They began to dig gutter, hiding money. According to Lai Muhammad, some of the money is in graveyard. You carry casket, everybody go there, put it in the grave, cover it. But the guy who dug the grave knows. So EFC say, if you know, call us. Say, how much? Say 5%. It's called whistleblowing. And I heard that the association of NFF, you know, referees, they are going on strike. Why? All the years they've been blowing whistle, nothing happened. They want their portion of the money. You know, one of my friends said that there's a whistle blowing thing. No, I think Yenkada said it. That international community is respecting the thing. That this is innovative. They will soon start copying it. So Nigeria is collecting money back by parting with 5%. Man, that guy say, oh boy, I was there when Oga said, let's hide this thing. What did Oga give all of us? 10,000. I know that money is like $15 million. The blow whistle, collect your portion. Boys, they hammer now. Seriously. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Now, it sounds like a joke, but you know, these are the ways that which God is helping. We can keep complaining, but God is helping. Somebody said, how come there are so many hotels in Enugu? I said, oh, God, come sit down. Don't bother complaining. He said, why don't you build industry? I said, you need to have experience to build industry. Enough you thief money, build industry. When you steal money, you build house. God works in mysterious ways. Mysterious ways. That's how he works. His wonders to perform. So don't worry. Your blessing is coming. So what was I saying? That so we are making prayer a habit. That's what we've been talking about here. And last time we said that, okay, how do you make prayer a habit if you cannot do repetition that's vain? And we said that we'll take the word of God upon our lips and we'll make it a habit. Last time I said something about songs. That's why God gave us songs. We sing songs so that it makes it easy to repeat the word of God. And I emphasized, sing only songs make it a habit to hear songs that edify you and that magnify the name of God and magnify His word. Don't focus on songs that don't do these things, because the songs play themselves back again and again in your heart. So it's what you feed your ears with that will play themselves back. Now that's the thing about songs. Songs that don't edify, don't sing them. Even though they claim they are Christian songs, don't focus on them, all right? Because songs is one thing that God gave to us, and we looked at that from that Colossians chapter 3. He said that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. Songs that come out of your spirit, okay? They are part of the ways by which you elevate the word of God. The book of Psalms is a prayer book, all right? There are five books actually. If you look at the book, they are in five portions. So Israel had it as their prayer book. It's a prayer book. And that's what I want to talk about briefly today. Not the Psalms alone, but just to see the example from there. It's like a prayer book. And what I want to teach us again, continue from that last time, is that prayer is not about uttering our needs to God primarily. Prayer is about lifting up the name of the Lord over our lives, over every situation, and lifting up the word of God. That is, we put the name of God over our lives. We put the name of God over a situation, and then we lift up the staff of Moses. I'm using Moses as an example now. Over that situation, which for us is the word of God. We have this series we taught here, was it last year or the year before? On the rod of God. I think it was last year. So please, everybody, try and go and listen to the series, The Rod of God. What we taught extensively there, that what is the rod? It's the word of God. How do you handle it? When Joshua was in front of the battle, was in the battle, and Moses was on the mountain, Moses lifted up the rod constantly. And as long as his hands were up, with the staff of God in his hands, Joshua was prevailing. And once he dropped his hands, Amalek prevailed. So Moses had the duty to keep his hands up, whichever way he had to do it, to get help from Hur and from Aaron. He had to keep his hands up so that Joshua would be able to prevail. What is Joshua in your life is waking up early. What is Joshua in your life is about going about your business. What's Joshua in your life is showing up to preach the message if you're a preacher. What's Joshua in your life is be loving your wife as a husband. What is the Joshua in your life is those physical things you do that people talk about as how they get results. You're a student. What is Joshua? You go to class to go and read. You go for lectures in the morning. Now listen to this. You will do those things. They must be done. The Bible says that except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that do what? Build it. So for the house to be built, even though the Lord is building it, there must be laborers on site. Except the Lord watches a city, the watchmen are awake, but in vain. So when the Lord is watching a city, the watchmen will still be awake. But if the Lord is not watching, their being awake is in vain. If the Lord is not building, if they are building, they are building in vain. So God was not saying people should not build. God was not saying people should not watch. He was just saying that certain things are first. So for Joshua to fight, that's what we're talking about. What is it, Joshua? Is that physical effort that is right and necessary that you are supposed to put in? So when they were going to fight Amalek, Joshua had to go to battle. Joshua did not go there playing. Joshua trained himself in how he would use his sword. Joshua had men fighting with him. He was their commander. Or are you getting my point? But his victory was not because of his skill. His victory was not because of the number of men that went with him. His victory was not determined by his skill in battle. His victory was determined by the position of Moses, with the hands of Moses on the mountain. So when Moses kept his hands up with the staff of God in his hands, Joshua prevailed. That is, if you have the staff of God in your hand, the word of God in the right position, your reading as a student will produce. Are you getting my point? Your doing your business will produce. Your effort you put in getting up, leaving the house, going about your business, it will produce. Your loving your wife, buying flowers. Do Africans buy flowers? We buy flowers. Okay, buy plastic flowers, you know. Let me just tell you the truth, eh? My brethren in Africa, don't bother with the flowers. They are expensive. The women prefer some other things to flower. Instead of flower, stop pretending. You are not Oyibo. Instead of flower, buy perfume. Instead of flower, buy ice cream. Are you getting what I'm saying? Instead of flower, buy blouse. Buy a hat, a correct gown, solid gown.
African babe prefers the gown. If the ladies agree with me, say amen. You can disagree, oh. Are all of you are witnesses? My hands are clean. Is it me that said it? You heard the amen from all the way from Bokolo. I didn't say don't buy anything, though, because my wife is looking at me like, what do you mean by that? What I just mean is, it's not the flower. We have other things we can buy. Yes, buy a wristwatch. Ah, buy jewelry.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You heard that? You heard that? You heard that? All right. If you are cool, if flower are your business for Nigeria, forget that side. I go and sell something else. Nigeria won't want flower. We'll plant in front of our compound. That one is good enough. So I'm happy we got, all of us agreed. Now, whatever you are buying, all right, it will not produce joy and gladness in your home if the hands of Moses are not in the proper place. That's what we're saying. So all these physical efforts, you are reading book, you are applying, you are practicing for the interview, those are the Joshuas in battle. They are necessary. You will not just walk over Amalek without fighting. You will fight. Do you understand my point? But then Joshua does not succeed in battle except Moses has his hands up in the proper place. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is for us to lift up the rod and keep it over a situation. And we are saying that is why we can pray and not get tired. And what I want to teach you today from that, like I was saying, the book of Psalms is a book of prayer for Israel. And what that book does is that, just to give us an example, there are other, we can manufacture, in quotes, our own prayer from different portions of the Bible. I just want to emphasize that when you're studying your scriptures, we're talking about effective praying. It is not about the words you want to create by yourself. It's about just transferring that which has been spoken in the scriptures and putting it upon your lips and lifting it up. You understand? By putting it upon your lips, all they are doing, they are lifting it up and keeping it up. Important point. There is a word that he has spoken about every situation. There is no situation or in this life that there's no word concerning. When you discover that word, let that word become your song. Let that word become your song. For example, you know, we've been talking about the freedom that we have in Christ, the liberty, the redemption that we have in Christ. I heard you praying just now, all right? And you were leading the prayer about the fact that the blood of Jesus has been shed for us. The blood of Jesus has been shed. It has washed away our sins. It has broken every curse of our lives. That becomes your song. It becomes your song. And thank God for those who are skilled songwriters. If you find a song like that, that somebody has written, that is the kind of song you imbibe and turn it to prayer. And what I'm talking about prayer now, that's why you can pray in the morning, you can pray in the afternoon, you can pray at night. The word becomes the prayer. It is not the request that is the prayer now. It's the word that becomes the prayer. Do you follow my point? Now, what happens is that, you know, like we said, the Bible says that God, that the Lord Jesus, he sustains all things, how? By the word of his power. So it's not that he said, let there be light, and there was light, and that's the end of it. Light just remains. No. Light is sustained. Light is sustained. That word, let there be light, it continues to reverberate. The word of God doesn't just terminate, it reverberates. That word keeps moving around. So when God said, let there be light is still echoing from one end of the universe to the other. It's still echoing from one end of the universe to the other. And until God collects the word back, all right, because the word of God can return when the time comes, God will say, okay, tells that word to return, then light will vanish. But once he said, let there be light, the word keeps on reverberating, and that's why there is still light. You are getting my point here. So you see, if you too want to succeed in life, we said last time, many people, you know, God told them, it is the Lord, he said, thou shalt remember. That Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, thou shalt remember that is the Lord thy God that is giving you the power to make wealth. If I think it's my Bible that uses the word that is giving you. Let me just quickly check it, whether it's my version that says that. Deuteronomy chapter 8. King James used the word that giveth. I'm not very good at relating with that word, so let me use them. Okay, good. New American Standard, let me use the English that is modern there. Verse 18. It said, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. Now, why I brought up the issue is that the continuous tense there that he is giving the power. It's not as if he has given and you have it. He is what? Giving. You know, Jesus said that if you abide in me, that is when you bring forth much fruit. That is, it is not alike the way David Paulson said it, that life is not in you. Life is in Christ. That when you abide in Christ, that life constantly flows. That life is in Christ. What are we saying here? In the same manner, when people sometimes, God has blessed them, we talked about that last time, they now forget. When they forget, they don't continually infuse the power, the life-giving word of God into their success. So they now start, and these are the risks of life. People now start trying to sustain that which they began in the spirit. They now want to sustain it in the flesh. And Paul warned against it in that Galatians, when he went to the Galatians. He said, having begun in the spirit, do you now want to perfect it in the flesh? That is, if you began something in the spirit, you must be careful that you do not perfect in the flesh. What does it mean to begin in the spirit? It is simple. You wanted to start, money business is always a good example. You wanted to start in your business. You did not know anybody. You didn't have their natural advantages. So what did you do? You went to pray. And you prayed and kept on uttering the word. And we said last time that when the word is working, it works through a process that can be observed. It works through a process that can be described. And it works through a process that appears reproducible. What I'm trying to say is that when Israel first went to Ai that time to fight, they went with when the curse wanted to work in their lives because of Achan, they started making mistakes. What's the mistake they made? They went there and said, okay, we don't need to send many people. So they sent like 3,000 men. Just go there. Not too many people. It's a small place. That was the first error. Yeah. Now, that was the working of the curse in the situation. Now, they went in. They fought carelessly. And the men of Ai rose up against them. And their hearts became faint. And Ai struck down 30-something men. And the rest of Israel ran. And after Joshua identified there was a problem and selected where the problem was and he wiped out the problem, when they were going back to battle, they went with 30,000 people. They went with a lot of soldiers. This time around, they had a strategy. Some of you will approach the city, then you will run. Then the men will come out, chase after you. Then when you have run very far, the guys who are hiding will invade the city with all the soldiers gone. Then they will burn down the city. Then, they did all of those things, and it worked. Now, why did they fail? This is human level reasoning. Why did they fail? They failed because the first time they went with few men and they had no strategy. Yeah. Why did they succeed? They now went the second time with more men and a better strategy. Listen, that is foolishness if you say that. The reason they failed the first time was that Achan sinned from Jericho. And I suspect that he was not the only one that sinned. I suspect that he was the one that incited everybody else to do the evil that he did. I believe that many people in that place took one thing and took the other. And some, you say, why didn't they? They've eaten many of those ones that they. the whole camp was polluted. Now, that was the origin of the trouble. Now, they solved it. One of the manifestations of the fact that it's been solved was that wisdom came to them. Was that how to solve the problem at that time came to them. But you see, with God, it is the same thing to save by few as to save by a multitude. He could have saved with a few the first time. And when he was going to save later the whole of Israel from Midian, he said so that they will not think that it is human strength. He had to whittle down the army of Gideon until we had just 300 men left. And after the 300 men don't carry weapons. He was just trying to make a point. What do you do? Carry torches, carry this, carry that. And I went to battle. And they just scared the other people. And those ones, you think they saw Israelites? They were seeing angels. Angels, when you see angels, you will run. Israel was just obeying instructions. So God could have saved by a few. In that situation, he saved by a multitude. But we know it's not the multitude that was the solution. It was the repentance that they went through. So the victory was spiritual. What am I saying? So when the word of God starts working in your life, be careful. It will give you observable methods by which you will get healed. It might give you methods by which business will blossom. It can give you things which somebody will say, why did we not do this 1-3 years ago? And somebody will come and tell you, and I told you then you did not listen to me. They won't know that it's because it was not your season yet. So you could not listen. The ability to listen is a gift of God.
Oh, you don't know. It's a gift of God. That was why Absalom could not listen to Ahithophel. Even though Ahithophel gave him the victory assuring counsel. But David said no. God said no. Because of the spiritual operation, Absalom could not listen to Ahithophel. No matter how much he tried, the elders in Israel, they gave to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, the sound counsel that would have established him as a king in Israel. But he could not listen to them. Why? God's judgment was against his household. So what we must understand is spiritual things that work. So I was saying, for that reason, when we started by saying that God sustains all things by the word of his power. So victory now comes into our lives and it gives us observable methods by which we break through. It tells the student, it's because we are sleeping too much. Now you are going to wake up earlier and put in 2 hours early in the morning and then come back later in the evening and drop another 2-3 hours and all of that. And the person now says, yo, this is the... And then the results change. From being a D student, an E student, jumps to be an A and a B student. And then one day, God now starts making demands on that time. And I said, no, I always read from 5 to 7. So the fellow wakes up late, doesn't have time to pray, doesn't have time to maintain the word of God. Exam is coming, I don't have time for fellowship, I don't have time for this, but I must get my 2 hours every morning and my 3 hours every evening. Fine. There's something, the Lord can just leave that one. Finish the first level of exam. Next level, you want to use that same method and it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore. And that's because the fellow thought that that method that God gave is the secret to the success. But actually, it's just a manifestation. And remember, he sustains all things by the word of his power. It is the Lord thy God that is what? Giving. So it's a constant thing. So if you break the connection, it takes time. It starts winding down and winding down and winding down. That's what happens. This thing slowly grinds to a halt. And that's why we believers must be careful. So what do we do with prayer? We make sure that constantly prayer is the way by which we infuse that sustaining word into the situation. Without it, Joshua fails in battle. Don't ever put your hope on Joshua. Are you getting my point here? You understand Joshua in this context now?
Yes.
All the Joshuas in your life, they are good, they are important, but your hope must not be in them. So if that person, that student has to choose between studying the word between 5 and 7 or prayer or reading, you take the book, you wait. Because I can read and I don't concentrate. I may concentrate and not imbibe. I may imbibe his stuff and forget soon after. The thing that holds all things together, the Bible says he sustains, it's the Bible says by him all things consist. He sustains all things by the word of his power. It's the word of God. Prayer is not about desire. Prayer is about lifting up the word of God over the situation constantly. Like I said earlier, we're using the book of Psalms as an example. There is nothing that has not been described in that book, in the Bible. There is nothing. The duty we have as believers is to isolate, identify the one that has to do with our condition, the matter at hand, things that we're trying to solve, and just constantly put that word out there and turn it into a song. Do you follow my point? Let me say this. Don't, like I quote, who am I quoting now? Which of these men? And the one I said that, stop talking to God about your problems. Start talking to the problems about God. Yeah, Corey Blake. He says, start talking to the problems about God. Start talking to the situations of the life about God. That is, start singing the song of healing, all right, upon your body, not describing the pain. Have you ever talked to sick people who describe their problems for you? The first time, you can bear it, right? Second time, you are thinking like, I know. Third time, I don't want to hear it. Have you experienced that?
Yes, sir.
And if this person is on the bed, you stop visiting. No, I've had experience. If the person is ill, maybe he's hospitalized, the visits will end. And next time you want to go, you go with many people so that they can't talk to you. I think God feels like that too. If every time we'll come, let's describe the problems to him. He will delegate an angel to your problem. Say, Pastor Bank, does he do that? Go and ask Moses. Told Moses, I'm not going with you again. I will send one angel. Moses said, no, Baba God, don't do like this now. You won't leave your guys. You know, God got tired of them. Say, let me send an angel. Sometimes I think the Lord has to do that. Say, look, guys, all right, let's send somebody. And I'm convinced that when we come to him all the time, describing all the troubles, after a while, when you start the prayer, look for one angel. Say, Mogadishu, that one say, yes, sir. Come and listen. I only know Gabriel and Michael, and which other angel do you know in the Bible that has a name? Is there any other one? Okay, goodness, mercy. Yeah, Miles Morrow said they are angels. But how many angels do you know that have names? What are the names you know? Raphael. Okay. Raphael makes sense. Is that not a Catholic angel? I know one, Creone, but it's not in the Bible. Creone is, I met Creone the time I went to, I went to Angels on Assignment. You know the book, Angels on Assignment? Creone is inside there. That's where I learned the name from. Anyway, that's why I use the word Mogadishu, so forgive me. So I believe that, I suspect that sometimes God just said one angel, hey, look, go and attend to that matter. When we come all the time describing problems for him. I don't think that's what he wants. But what does he want us to do? It gets to a point, you have an issue, you let your request be meaning not to God, and then you receive from him, all right, your song. You receive from him your sound. And that becomes the song that you sing all the time. Let's take this matter of money again, practical example. Okay, I don't have money. I need money. Money seems like I need more of it. Things, well, instead of every day say, God, oh, you will break through upon me. After all, Otedolai is not a spirit. He's a human being. You get my point? Dangote is not a spirit. He's a human being. You have mentioned all those names. Lord, oh, you will not forget me. Believe me, you're already forgotten. If you are praying like that, you have been forgotten. If you don't want to be forgotten, forget the other people. All right? Don't compare yourself with human beings. When it comes to the matter of need, you just start from Psalm 23. Beautiful Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You would declare that psalm again and again and again and again. You know my favorite verse now? The Lord makes prosperity flow towards me like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That's a beautiful psalm. You know, it's from Isaiah. I'm just calling it psalm now. You know, we have things like that from the 2 Corinthians. Many of them, 2 Corinthians. The one that Jesus did for us, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, say, I know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for my sake, he became poor, so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. God makes it makes grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. He supplies seed to me, and he supplies bread for food. I have seed to sow, I have bread for food. That's it. You don't need to say, God, oh, the money is 5,000 naira that I need. Oh. I give an example at that time. It might be 10,000, you think it is 5. And sometimes you don't even need as much as you think. Sometimes you don't need money at all. What you need is wisdom. Are you getting my point? But you solve the problem of money by taking what God has said concerning money. Another thing you should do in the time of prayer, rehearse the testimonies that you have heard. Especially because the testimonies of the Bible, they are very credible. They are very credible. If you have credible testimonies around today, use them also. Tell the story. Tell it to yourself. You and somebody wants to pray. I've noticed something when you want to pray. You know, it's good to ask my wife. My wife used to say that I pray very funny. When we first met that and when we first married, when you want to pray, what she expects that as a man of God, who will sing a song. You understand? You don't blame her. That's what everybody used to do. But after a while, she told me that you pray very funny. Because she can't tell when I'm praying and when I'm talking to her. Actually, sometimes I'm praying, I was interrupt. And I'll explain something. And we'll go back to declaring the word. Now, you know what I'm saying this? I've noticed that it's a serious faith booster when you tell stories. Before you start praying, you tell stories. One of my tell stories, you want to pray about sickness. You tell a Bible story. And you tell a story of somebody the other day. Like one of my sisters told the story about a woman that has stage 4 cancer. You understand? Cancer of the breast, stage 4. And people did not know. And either she had been treated or she had abandoned treatment that she just believed in God. And she used to go around ministry. And one of those days, they were worshiping and all of that. Let me make a long story short. When she finished ministering, she went to the bathroom because she had an urge. And the cancer fell out. The skin on the breast healed back. This cancer disappeared from every part of her body. Authentic testimony. Are you getting my point here? These are the kind of stories you repeat. You tell somebody who will seek that kind of story. Faith is, look, the woman with the issue of blood, why did she get faith? How? She heard. She didn't just wake up in the morning and say, I must touch the hem of his garment and I'll be made whole. No. It was when she heard. She heard the things, because read your Bible, she was not the only one that touched the hem of his garment. The Bible said at the point of time, everyone who touched was made whole. And then she went ahead. He said, you are still here. What happened? Huh. Everybody is touching the hem of that man's garment, that prophet. And they are getting healed. You are here. When she heard it, her only problem now is that I cannot go close because of the laws surrounding my situation. He said, look, when I've gotten healed, they didn't come and stone me that time. Then she got to the Bible, says she went in the press, just struggling to touch the hem of her of his garment. And look, her faith had been so built by the stories she had heard. So built that when she touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus, she collected such a dose of anointing. Now, I can't be dogmatic about this, but this is what I think. She collected such a dose of anointing, Jesus wanted to lift his leg. The leg didn't move. Just tried to move. You know, because you see, anytime current flows, all right, you perceive it. I mean, are you getting my point? Like now, if current flows into you, you know you perceive it.
Yeah.
But when it flows out of you, you also perceive it. You say, when does current flow out of me? Hamatan. No, during dry season. You've not touched something, you get shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
That current is not from that, it's from you. Oh, it's your body discharging into it. Oh, for those of you who don't know, you know, sometimes during dry season, you want to touch something. In fact, sometimes you want to touch somebody. The current that flows, that shocks you a lot of those times, is from you. It's as discharging from your finger that your finger, your receptors, they catch it. If you notice during dry season, those of you who hang out with me, I don't open my car door. If you get to my car, I'll tell you, open the door. And you don't get shocked. Why? The current is not in the car. It's in me. I generate a lot of it. I don't know why. If it's an anointing, I'm also, I don't know. But just by the way, I've discussed with people that some say maybe because of hair. If you have a lot of hair, understand, you know, it rubs on your clothes. So it generates static electricity. Yeah, so it matters, all right? The hair, there are things that create electricity in your body. Your heart is always producing electricity. And just to educate, you know, I say a lot of things. I noticed one method I use near my house. Got my gate, that's the one. If I come to open the gate by myself, if I want to open the door of my house, dry season, the jolt is so bad, it turned to prayer point. And the Lord gave me small wisdom. You know what's the wisdom? When I get there, I touch the wall first. Yeah, just touch the wall. The wall doesn't conduct as fast as metal, so it discharges slowly into the wall. You don't feel the jolt. It works 100% of the time. Must I teach you everything? No, but it works. It works. I will learn that one from physics. The Lord just gave me that because he didn't used to disturb me. I asked my wife. I said, look, baby, you open the door. I didn't used to like opening doors. My own is, aye. Back to our Jesus gist. So, now, what happened to the Lord is that this woman drew so much power from him. Two things happened. One, he tried to move. Secondly, he got electric spark where that woman collected her own from. That's what I'm talking about. Why she has so developed a, let's use the expression, negative potential because of what she had. That when she came in contact with power, power had to move. Power had to move. So the Lord Jesus paused like this. What was that? He said, it was electricity flowing. Who touched my garment? He said, no, who touched me? Somebody touched me. Hey, Peter said, with all this multitude touching you, you say one person. Sir, for your information, one person did not touch you. 50 people. But Jesus understood, said, no, you don't understand. This kind of touch is the electricity transferring touch. Somebody touched me. It flowed into one person. So Peter, James, nah, this is a joke. Just when nobody moves, nobody, everybody put up your hand for Sergio. The woman now came and confessed. Why am I talking about her? The fact that she heard. What she heard boosted her faith. That faith created the necessary environment for the power of God to be discharged into her. That's what we're talking about. The same manner when you want to pray. You understand? Tell a story. A story that magnifies the power of God. A story that lets you know that the power of God is available for every believer today. Start with a Bible story. Hear one or two testimonies. Recite one or two testimonies you have heard. If you do that before you pray, in fact, I have experienced it. When you are praying yourself, you know you are being heard. what happens is that your faith has been boosted. That's effective praying we're talking about. It's taking, there's nothing, I've said earlier, there is nothing we want to go through in life, or we are going through, that we will go through, that has not been described, or there's no scripture that describes it. There is nothing. And that's why we have to take this, our Bible, now very seriously. It's not just something I read in the morning, like, let me tell God I've read. No. 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 Believe me, all the answers, they are in here. You know, this man I've talked about many times, Derek Prince. Derek Prince said that when he wanted, that he knew that he could get healed if he had faith. But he asked himself that, but I know I don't have faith. So for a long time, he was there. So I know that I can get healed if only if I had faith. But I don't have faith. And I heard, he read Paul say, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All he heard was faith cometh. Faith comes. It means faith can come. Faith can come. Oh, faith can come. So it took the rest of it. How does it come? It comes by the word of God, by hearing. Ah, that means it's if I imbibe the word, faith will come. So what do I need? Healing. All right, let me look for what the Bible says about healing. So it started from Genesis. That's dedication we are talking about. It started from where?
Genesis.
He said, bought a new Bible and got a blue pen and said, let me see what God says about healing. He began from Genesis and he began to read, underlining everything that the Lord said about healing. So when he had reached Revelation, he said the whole Bible had turned blue because he was underlining with a blue pen or blue marker. By the time he reached Revelation, he said, I had a blue Bible. By that time, faith had been boosted. So he said, okay, now what's the next thing I do? Let me summarize it. I take the word of God as medicine. And he took that word as medicine. It took him 3 months. What doctor said was incurable disappeared. No, if I wish to, there was a time I was ill when I was in Lagos that time. Very funny. I was ill, I was down. Don't ask me why, but I just perceive this is a spiritual problem. When I say spiritual problem, I don't mean witches are after me. I don't know. Why do people believe witches are after them? There are things I can't swallow. Witches are after me. I can't believe you. Even if you're a witch, you come and say, I want you to know we are the ones after you. I'll tell you, I'm just looking for attention. I won't give it to you. I'll make it clear I'm not going to give you. That time, one interesting thing happened. I felt that it was malaria I had. The symptom was very funny. Also, I was in Lagos that time. That was before I married. So I said, all right, let me take a treatment. But long story short, this treatment failed. How did I treat it? It's simple. I will return to the thing that I knew that worked. I was not even studying the word for healing. I just took scripture and started reading. Started studying. This one of walking morning, afternoon, and night was enough. I just took scripture and started studying. Are you getting my point? Of course, it took a few weeks. After that, I recovered well. One day, one doctor now asked, one of the younger doctors, he said, Chief, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. He said, what medicine did you take? I said, nothing. No medicine. I said, I realized it was a spiritual weakness. I just went back and doubled on the dose of the word. He looked at me and shook. He said, like, this my guy has a problem. I didn't want to tell him. He was the one that asked. Till now, I still do it. If I'm not feeling well, I know it's time to just sit down. Just put, I love this device they call phone. It's a perfect way to get healed. Just lock the thing in your ears and lie down there. You will hear enough words to get healed. I think I've told you this story before when I was in Lagos. One of those days, I had not been feeling well for a few days. I woke up in the morning. I touched my face. The bumps were all over the place. It was another part of my body too. It was chicken pox. Faith needs to be boosted. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't just pretend like you have faith. Boost it first. If somebody's been immunized for tetanus, if you come to clinic with an injury, you know what we do? You say, have you taken immunization for tetanus? You say yes. We give you a booster dose. A booster, just another dose of tetanus toxoid that wakes all your immune system up. Boom! They will pour a lot of antibodies into your body. Any tetanus that tries you at that time, that's how it works. Faith also, you boost. That day before I prayed, don't just pray in such a manner that your faith will become weak. Before I pray, I still remember Supernatural Living Series, David Oyedepo. I went for tape number 2. I sat down in my room and listened to it for 1 full hour. I just sat down there. The man was talking and talking. I listened to that many times before, but that day I took it again. Let's listen to this thing again. I listened to it. When it was done, I still remember, I was sitting on the floor. I now put my hand on my face and on my head. All the prayer I prayed was I cursed the chicken pox to disappear. And I left it. I rubbed white powder on my face just to prevent people from noticing. My face was seriously bumpy. Make a long story short, that night, I went to sleep. When I woke up next morning, I'd even forgotten about the chicken pox. But I slept well, smoothly, slept very, very well. When I woke up in the morning, I don't know, you know, you want to rub your eyes or something. As I rubbed my face, reflexly, I wasn't thinking about the chicken pox. It was the smoothness of the face that reminded, because yes, you know, the bumpiness was still in the mind. So when the hand went over the face, the smoothness of the face reminded me there was something there yesterday. So I quickly grabbed the mirror and looked. Oh boy, see a handsome boy. See handsome, I honestly, when I woke up, I didn't even remember. It was when my hand went over my face that I remembered. Why am I talking the story, talking about it? It was that it wasn't, hey, this man had faith. No. It was that we had to boost. You boost the faith. And let me tell you the truth. That is how you get healed constantly. It's not only when you fall sick. It's a constant thing. Look, Joshua, many people have too much faith in Joshua. Meanwhile, Moses is there. He's asleep. Aaron has gone to fish. Hur is chasing cricket around the wilderness. And Joshua wants to win the battle. Every little sickness, they are bolted to hospital. All the doctors there are Joshua's. Sometimes God uses them for curing people. But believe me, if Moses is not on your mountain, but Joshua will kill you for nothing. Joshua's, I'm not taking faith away from doctor. Why is he smiling? When I start talking, he starts smiling. It's guilt. He's one of them. There is no Joshua that can help you if Moses' hands are not up. Every year, more than 50,000 Americans die because their doctors made a mistake. Yes. Death from medical errors in I'm not talking about Nigeria. In fact, there's one of my classmates we were chatting about the other day. A girl who was a student in UK who had appendicitis because UK is always cutting budget. You know, UK is a very funny country. Don't think everything, it's not heaven. It's another country run by human beings. If you are sick, if you have a headache and a toothache, if you go and see the doctor, you can only talk about the headache. If it's all about my toe, he tell you go and book for another appointment. That's another 5 weeks. Unless you have money. And for that headache, you have 15 minutes. Even if your grandfather had it, and all your children have it, you must tell that story in 15 minutes. He must finish examining you and deciding on your case in 15 minutes. Why? You're not the only sick person in London. What I've told you, you can ask from people who are there. I'm not joking. They said this poor girl, she went to hospital, abdominal pain. Doctor gave her, go and drink these 2 tablets. She'll go home. She'll come back again, abdominal pain. Finally, her parents said, come home. She landed in Lagos, went to a hospital. The Nigerian doctor said, ruptured appendicitis. She died. She died. So, you know, my classmate, Charles, some of them are in UK, we're different parts of the world. So we're not telling people in UK, say, it's not heaven this is happening. Because I have a classmate that appears as if he lives in heaven, he lives in the UK. I said, it's not heaven this is happening. He wants to transmit it to us in Nigeria. We didn't manage you. I said, hey, wait. One of our surgeons in Calabar said, listen, oh boy, don't push it to us. You people could not diagnose this thing. You didn't know what was wrong with this girl until the parents said, come home. She now said, They now said, wait, let me tell you another story. Another one now said, I know these stories. It's not the first time. You mentioned another Nigerian student who went to hospital there again and again, and they did not do anything until the parents left Nigeria and went to UK. Good enough, they had money and dragged the girl to a private hospital there. That one too will have died. So don't think the Joshuas are spirits. That's what I'm talking about. So all these doctors are roaming around, whether Nigerian or Malawian or American or Yugoslav doctors, I don't care. They are Joshuas. If the hands of Moses are not up on your mountain, you rush to Joshua Joshua will kill you for you. Why? He said, cursed is the one who trusts in flesh. You are ill, you have to go to a doctor, there's not a problem. But please, before you move, ask Moses, wake up. Moses, climb the mountain. Keep your hands up. This Joshua wants to go to battle. What is Moses? The word of God. The word of God can guide the hands of Joshua. One woman and her husband, whose story Ben Carson told, that's what happened to them. They went to one Joshua. Joshua said, it's incurable. The son had bring a cancer in the brain. Went to another Joshua. The Joshua said, it's incurable. This is what they prayed and prayed. And they came to Ben Carson and said, the Holy Spirit said we should come and see you, that you will handle this matter. Ben Carson, being a Christian, understood with them, but didn't take their word for it. Let's check. He checked and checked and checked and returned the verdict. Incurable. The young boy, like 5, 6, less than 10, is going to die. They said, no, you don't understand. That the Holy Spirit said, you will treat this boy and this boy will live. He said, he's used to faith people, boy, so doesn't let them bamboozle him. He checked and checked again and said, sorry, this boy's type of cancer is growing in a bad place. It kills and there's no treatment possible because it is invading a vital part of the brainstem. In fact, the brainstem. And the brainstem is something you don't touch. It's a connection between your whole brain and the rest of your body. Brainstem drops into the spinal cord, so you don't touch it. What controls your heart and your breathing is lying down inside there. Doctors keep away from it. This boy's cancer was growing inside there. So they can't remove the cancer. The parents said, you don't understand. The Holy Spirit said. So what did they do? See, but under pressure, the man said, okay, no problem. Okay, let me get our own pathologists to look at a new tissue. Let's take the boy to theater. So they went to theater. As soon as he opened the boy's skull, got to the brain, he looked over and said, wow, just like they said, cancer everywhere. This is going to kill this boy. There's nothing I can do. He said, well, so before we leave, let's just take a bit of the cancer and get to our pathologist. Let them make our own diagnosis in Johns Hopkins. He said, fine. He took it, covered the brain back, and went back. Pathologist returned diagnosis, bad cancer. She said, well, that's what the other people said. They repeated the X-ray, the MRI, and looked closely. Suddenly he saw that the cancer actually, because he took a bit of it out to send it to the pathologist, that had reduced the bulk of the cancer. By reducing the bulk slightly, just marginally, the next scan he did, he actually saw a small gap between the cancer and the brainstem. He said, wow, it's not growing inside. It's only wrapped around it. Took the boy back to theater instantly and started clearing cancer, clearing it, scraping it off. He said, now I can touch it. I'm sure it's not inside the brainstem. He scraped and scraped and scraped, removed the whole, every one bit he could see. And good enough, it came out. Covered the boy back. Within hours, the boy started showing signs of recovery. Days, the boy was recovering, was awake, he was beginning to talk. He was excited. He came to them and said, well, it's a kind of aggressive cancer. We now need to start chemotherapy. That's anti-cancer drugs. And the parents said, no, it will not be necessary. Holy Spirit said, are you getting my point? That you've done the one you're supposed to do. Ben Carson said after that point, he couldn't argue that it was their persistence that made him do what he did. What I'm trying to say, Joshua only succeeded because Moses was on the mountain. I've told the story before of Gary Carpenter. Gary Carpenter, one day, he said his faith was low. He was essentially backsliding. And the problem of white people is what we call melanoma. Melanoma is one of the worst types of cancer that doctors know. It's definitely the worst cancer of the skin. And it's an affliction of white people. An average white man fears melanoma than he fears God. He will sin against God, but he will not sin against melanoma. No, I'm not kidding about it. God can say you can't divorce your wife, they will divorce her anyway. If melanoma says don't go out in the sun, they're not going anywhere. They fear because he doesn't have treatment. It's only a few years ago that is where they have this group of drugs now, they are trying on it. But generally, it's one of those bad cancers. Then this man one day, Gary Carpenter, woke up on his back. They saw a black thing growing. It was growing and growing. The wife looked and said, I think we should see a doctor. They went to the doctor. It's a melanoma. Sorry. It's on the back. There's nothing we can do. You're going to die. Put your house in order. You will die and not live. They were Christians. They knew they needed to pray. But the man said something to his wife. He said, my faith is so low, I can't pray. So the man said something, what do we do? So he and his wife, they prayed together. They didn't pray about the healing. No. He said, because I can't believe God for healing. My faith is too down. So what do we do? He said, let us pray to God that it is not as bad as that doctor said. He said, I can't believe that, I can't believe that. So they joined hands and prayed. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, let this not be as bad as the doctor said. And they said, amen, they believe it. They were referred to MD Anderson Cancer Center for treatment. They got to MD Anderson Cancer Center. The doctors there went about, maybe they looked at the slides from the other hospital and looked at it and said, oh, you're very lucky. This is what we call superficial spreading malignant melanoma. You're lucky, it's only spreading on top. We'll take it out from beneath, take the whole skin out, and you'll be okay. So they went, operated him, there's a way they do the operation, checked all the nodes that drained that area. The nodes were free, took it out, finished the surgery and declared him cured. And he's cured till today. God works in mysterious ways. Are you getting my point here? The man said, can you believe God for healing? He said, I can't. My faith is too low. His wife and he said, what do we do? Let's ask God that it's not as bad as what the other doctor said. When they got to the specialist, they just said, oh, this is not as bad. I mean, well, let me not teach you too much. Anyway, you are learning. So they thought it was nodular malignant melanoma. He said, no, it's not. It's superficial spreading. And that was the first time doctors were knowing about superficial spreading. Before that time, all of them the same group. But they had now done studies and found out that some of them actually spread in a funny way. They spread across the top of the skin. They're not as bad. So they went and harvested, caught it from deep below, and they were able to clear it entirely. Now, probably was a doctor's try. No, Joshua only succeeded. That's why I'm telling the story. Because the hands of Moses first went up on the mountain. It was a prayer that they prayed that manifested in the skill of Joshua. Are you getting my point? Let's rise to our feet. Just watching my time. Joshua does not have any healing in himself. Joshua does not have any victory in himself. What Joshua has is a manifestation of the position of the hands of Moses. I hope you're getting my point here. What is the hand of Moses? It is the mouth of the believer. It is the tongue of the child of God. What is he carrying? He's carrying the staff of God, the rod of God, which is the word that God has spoken. Because I spent so much time talking about healing, I want us to lift up the word of God about healing. And as you are lifting up this word, remember that it's going over your body. It's going over the body of everything that connects to you, like your wife, your children, your household. In that house, sickness is driven away now by the entrance of this word. Let's start with thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because Jesus died. Say, Lord, I thank you. That sacrifice was for me. Say, I thank you. That blood washed me. Say, me. My household. Everything that connects with me. That blood washes it clean. It washes me clean. Washes my household clean. That blood is speaking for me. It's speaking before the throne of the Almighty God. It's speaking for me. Lord, that blood is speaking for me. And I thank you for it. In your own words, just thank the Lord for a minute or so. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. It's a sign of gratitude. It's a sign of faith. Thank you is a sign of faith. It shows that you believe. 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 Now say, in the shedding of that blood, my sin was nailed to the cross. My sickness was nailed to the cross. And my illnesses were buried. Say, himself took my sicknesses and bore away my pains. Say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Say, I was healed, and now I am healed. Say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Say, that blood is speaking health over my life, and I join with it, and I declare health. is upon me in the name of Jesus. Now say it, I am healed totally from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I am healed totally from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Say with the blood of Jesus, nothing is incurable. It took every affliction from the root, nailed it to his cross, and buried it with the old man. Say in the name of Jesus, I am healed. Whether it's genetic or it's from the environment, whatever be the cause, is irrelevant. The cure is the same. The cure is the same, and it is effective. It is the precious blood of Jesus. That blood has sealed the word of God. And he said it is effective for me. Say, the Lord is my healer. The Lord is my healer. Say, Jesus my healer. Christ is my healer. Say, the Father is my healer. No affliction can stay on my body. Say, he will not put it on my body. You know, God said to them, I will not put this sin on you that I put on the Egyptians. Paul now said it like this. He said, who can stand it? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is your healer, who can be the sickness on your body? Are you getting my point here? That there is nothing that is incurable. That is the summary of it. There is nothing. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? He said, is it Jesus himself that died? No. He said, no. Did Jesus that died for you? No. He will not be the one to separate you. Listen to me. There is nothing incurable.
Amen.
Nothing is incurable.
Amen.
The predictions of normal science. Oh God, you know the latest joke? One of our brothers forwarded it to me. Up to recently, oldest woman in the world just died. That was last week. And she was 117 years old. Now that's not the gist. The gist was that the woman hated fruits and vegetables. This thing that they said will keep you alive. Said the woman hated it. That she ate meat, egg, and pasta. That is, you know, macaroni, you know, spaghetti. The very things I said, don't eat, though. Yes. It will kill you. So that's all the woman ate. She hated fruits and vegetables. So one of our brothers is in UK, now forwarded it to me. He said, Pastor, this thing you have been saying, look at it. I had a good laugh. Listen, your health, your long life is not in the food.
Yeah.
It's in the word of God.
Yes.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Listen, any cancer that wants to grow your body, with God's word now that we have declared, I call it cursed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It withers, it dies from its root now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If it has not been diagnosed, good. Die there. You will never be diagnosed.
Amen.
If it has been diagnosed, doesn't matter. Be cured in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, the Joshua, the doctor, they are not the source of healing. They are fighting their battle. It's good. We're not saying they shouldn't do their job. Sometimes some people need it to boost faith. Yeah, really. That's a matter of fact. It's difficult for a lot of us to just stay at home and say we won't take treatment. And the fact that you're not taking doctor's treatment is not proof that you have faith. You may be trying what somebody has tried. You don't have faith, you have copy. Yeah, some people are copying other people. It's not like they have faith. But what's my teaching for today? Remove your eyes from Joshua. Let Joshua be fighting his battle. Let a doctor be doing his test and be doing his work. But when he comes, let him meet your eyes closed. You are Moses, in quote, you are lifting up something.
Yes.
The time that the Red Prince was getting healed, he started in hospital. That he was in hospital. Some people came and carried him to the distance, started speaking in tongues and all of that. So when they left the place where they spoke in tongues, he said the car shook. They were praying, all of them were agitated under the power of the Spirit. So when I left the place, I was as sick as when I entered the car. Said, but one of them gave a word of prophecy. He said, consider the work of the cross. Complete in every dimension. I'm giving you, I didn't get his words correctly now. Complete in every way, perfect in every respect, something like that. He said, took that one away. And said, he began to meditate on the work of the cross. And that's how he got healed. The healing of God may not always be dramatic, but it's working.
Amen.
I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Let's get some healing dose again. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Life is working in me.
Life is working in me.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Because the blood has been shed.
Because the blood has been shed.
Because the word has been released.
Because the word has been released.
Because I have believed.
Because I have believed.
I have passed out of death.
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 And I have passed into life.
I have passed into life.
For all these reasons,
for all these reasons,
life is working in me.
Life is working in me.
Healing is working in me.
Is reverting every genetic problem.
Now speak to your genes. Say, be corrected. Speak to it. Say, be corrected. In the name of Jesus.
Every affliction
will not arise again. Now you will say amen to this. I speak to you. You will not eat fruit of that affliction again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will not eat fruit of that affliction again in the name of Jesus. Fathers, mothers, when you get home, lay hands on your own children too. It is the word that is working. It's not Pastor Banky. It's the word. That word will work no matter who is applying it.
Amen.
Let's say this about faith. Faith, many times, is just simply, just obey what you were told to do. A man came to Jesus. Have mercy on me. What is the problem? I want to see. So Jesus spat on the floor, made clay, put on his eyes. Said, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That's what he told him. Go and wash. If that man stayed there and he didn't go, he would have still been blind 2,000 years after. If he got halfway and did not wash, he would have still been blind. What was faith? Simply go there and wash. Naaman, you know, Naaman didn't understand faith though. In fact, he was provoked. He got angry. Deep in the Jordan 7 times, the man said, Lila, is it because this man is implying I've not been having my bath? And that was the anger. When Elisha said, tell him to dip in the Jordan 7 times. He said, this man is implying I've not been bathing. He said, don't I have better waters back home? the servant said, sir, if the man asked for a difficult thing, will you have done it? He said, yes. He said, now, what is the big deal about dipping? Said, if we finish dipping, it doesn't work. We will go home. Faith many times is just simply obedience to simple instructions that have been given. The man went in, dipped 7 times. And you know what happened?
Yes.
You know the rest of the story. When he came out of the water the 7th time, it was as if a little baby had been born. His skin was so perfect. What am I saying? I'm giving it to you as an instruction. Parents, when you get home, especially if you have a sick child, say, have I been called to ministry? Have an anointing to heal? Are you the word of God? The word, let me just tell you, has been called to ministry.
Yes, sir.
The word has anointing to heal. Take the child, if it's a small child, carry. And listen, whether they are sick or not, all of them.
Yes.
Because this word kills sickness that wanted to come next year.
Yes.
This word eradicates sickness that will have come in 18 years.
Yes.
What are you talking about? Let's kill everything now.
Yes.
Lay hands on that child, carry, cuddle that child, even if he's taller than you, put hands, say, yo boy, kneel down here, let me bless you. Just put hands and utter the word of God, it's simple. Himself took our infirmities and our diseases. By his stripes, you have been healed. That's all. Do you need many things? No. Say, you are healed in Jesus' name. Cast that one away. Carry the next one. Do it to all the children. Many of us queue dutifully for immunization. See where they are giving vaccines. All the women will queue up with all the babies. But you know, we hardly remember to immunize spiritually. Everybody needs to give injection to these children. When you get home, between now, this night, what are you doing to waiting till tomorrow morning? Are they not living in your house? Okay, if you travel, don't worry, when next you go home. If you want to do anointing, go and look for oil, but I didn't send you that one. It will not reduce anything, but just utter a scripture. I don't want, hey, Kalabagaga, I speak to you. Why is all the noise about? Just carry the child, put your hands. Say himself took our infirmities and our diseases. Say, by his stripes, you have been healed. In the name of Jesus. That's 15 seconds. One by one. One by one. If the child is big, tell her, bow down, kneel down here. 2 hands on your head. Anybody under your authority, connected to you, that word will heal them totally in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, I have an appointment for doctor for tomorrow. Still go, don't worry. But don't go until you have done this.
Don't go until you have done this. Joshua will kill you if you go. I know what I'm telling you. You know, because I preach, many of you don't know what I see from Monday to Friday. Let me scare you. I have seen young girls that have small tumor in the ovary. Pathologist diagnosed. The doctor removed both ovaries, removed her womb and everything, and she's only 17. When I saw it later, there was just small tumor that was cured by simple treatment. They had removed both ovaries, removed her uterus. No, she was 18. I have seen women's breasts cut off because the pathologist made the wrong diagnosis. You're rushing to hospital as if it's God that is there. There's nothing I've told that's theory. Nothing that I've told that's theory. Our professor, cardiothoracic surgeon, said when he was a student in UK, a man had hernia. Hernia. He went to hospital. Young, fit man, about 30, went to hospital. They wheeled him to the theater for hernia. They oddly, mistakenly wheeled him into the wrong theater. Into the wrong suite inside the theater. True story. In London. Those ones had young doctors there ready to operate. Except that they operate on the chest. And they were expecting a patient that had cancer in the lungs. And they sent for that one. So as that one came, you know, there's a way we do in medicine. The big guy was coming. The young boys can start. Opening up is not a big deal. In size, they won't do that. No, no, no. They cut off one rib because to get good access to the lungs, they removed one rib, opened the man's lungs, looked. Handsome lungs. No sickness. Ah! Then they panic. At that time, Oga had come. Oga was still scrubbing. Oga walked in there, looked, and said, this cannot be our patient. He looked, where's the x-ray? He looked on the board. Ah, this cannot be our patient. That was when either they checked the tag in the leg or they now removed the screen because the NSS will have covered the face. They check. Oh. He? Omo. Now somebody else. Oh. This guy came for hernia treatment. Oh. So, okay, what did they quickly do? The rib, they don't come on that rib. That rib is gone. Forget that thing. They quickly covered the guy back, covered everything back. Ah, see, how will we take explain? You know what made the story interesting? The boy died. This happened in London. If you want to finish you with story, you won't come out here today. My friend's father went for operation. Nothing big. He went to one of Nigeria's best hospitals. They just put the injection to send him to sleep and he died. Simple operation. That injection, the man died. The injection they just gave him, he reacted one funny way to it. They battled. The man died. Surgery did not last. They were there for 45 minutes trying to wake him up. Next, we gather to bury him. Don't run to hospital thinking God lives there. As they do good, then they do bad. You know why? They are but flesh.
Yes, sir.
That is why. No, they are not wicked people. The people that are talking about spend 6 years undergraduate, 1 year NYC, 1 year house job, 1 year NYC, 5-6 years postgraduate training. And at the end of the day, I'm a teacher there. When I tell people I have trained, say, you don't know anything. But people won't know you don't know anything, that they'll queue up and be handing their lives to you. They don't know. You might say, you don't go to hospital? No. I said, Joshua, before you go out to battle, ask Egbon Moses, where are you? Moses, you didn't sleep? No, Moses, you can't sleep. Oh. Up to the mountain. If you can't go alone, call Aaron and her. As I'm going to battle, you guys be there praying.
Yes, sir.
That's all I'm saying. Many of you have listened to me long enough. You've seen the things. I warn about some things, like the cholesterol thing. And I said, this thing is a lie. 30 years after the whole world has been told, don't eat cholesterol. Last day, the family said, sorry, it was a mistake. Cholesterol in your food does not kill you. And Christians won't settle down and eat God's word before they go out. Let's take some dose again, my brethren. Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
My life is in your hands.
My life is in your hands.
You know, Jesus went to the Isle of Patmos and told John, I am the beginning and the end. I hold the keys of death and of Hades. You know why he said that to John? Don't worry. Nero can't kill you if I don't say so. Say, Nero cannot kill you if I don't say so. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
Lord, in the name of Jesus,
my life is in your hands.
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 My death is in your hands.
My death is in your hands.
I cannot die
without your approval.
And you have given me life.
Given
Therefore, I have confidence.
Therefore, I have
Say, therefore, I have confidence.
Therefore, I have confidence.
Therefore, I have confidence. That's it. Let's say it again. Say, from the top of my head
to the soles of my feet,
every affliction
has been broken.
Every sickness
has been removed.
Every genetic disorder
has been corrected.
Every cancer
has been uprooted.
I said something last time. Let me say it again. And listen, I'm praying for you so you say amen to it. I speak to every organ in your body. You are walking in the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Therefore, receive the life of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You will walk well,
amen,
function properly,
amen,
and serve the purpose of God.
Amen.
I speak to that kidney, wake up.
Amen.
That pancreas, wake up.
Amen.
That heart, wake up.
Amen.
Those eyes, wake up.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because you are serving in the temple of the Holy Spirit, I say to you, be perfected.
Amen.
Remember, age is not a disease.
Yes.
Age is not a disease.
Yes.
Your brain is not shrinking.
Amen.
Strength is in your bones.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's give God thanks in our own words for a minute. Our Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bless somebody on your left or right. This is your season. Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Please bless one more person. This is your season of multiplication. Now bless yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.